We came in our last study to the 6th chapter of Proverbs, verse 23. This is in a section in which the father is giving advice, instruction, his commandment, it's called, to the son. And he says in verse 23 of chapter 6, the commandment, this is the commandment now of the father and the mother. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. These commandments that the godly parent going to give will be like a lamp. You see, they didn't have flashlights, and the flashlight is really the thing we'd say here. This commandment will be like a flashlight to guide you in dark, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction, the warnings, the reproofs, they are going to be the way that leads to life. And in particular, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. And again, this expression, strange woman, means the immoral woman. And then he goes on to say, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, immoral woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. That's all he has. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Now, to understand that, we'll have to remember that they didn't have matches. And when they wanted, when your fire went out, you had to go down the street to some neighbor and borrow some fire. Yes, I know they had ways in which they could make fire by striking metal against metal and things like that. But normally, they just borrowed some fire. And you took an earthen vessel, clay pot, with some dirt in the, or ashes in the bottom of it, to carry the fire. Now, you can't put the fire coals. When they say fire here, they mean the burning coals that you're taking back home, start your fire. Why, you can't take those up in your arms and wrap them up in your clothes. Can a man take fire in his bosom, hold it in his arms, wrapped in his clothes, and his clothes not be burned? Of course they'll burn up. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? If you just walk into a fire, brush fire, I mean a wood fire outdoors where they're burning wood or something, and if you walk right through the middle of it, you'll burn your feet. So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. The person who associates with the immoral, the person who has this affair with his neighbor's wife will not go unburned. And it says, whoso toucheth her, this neighbor's wife, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. Folks understand that there are times when folks get so hungry that they steal. Well, but they still have to pay back, and very often they had to pay back sevenfold. And whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own life, his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. This won't go away just when you pay some money. For jealousy is the rage. I think we'd say jealousy arouses the fury of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of judgment. Immorality is going to be this serious a thing in that it's going to be punished. He will not regard any ransom. Now, this is the husband of the woman who was a bad girl. He will not regard any ransom. You can't just give him $10 and tell him to forget it. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Here is the warning to young people in particular, you see, it's addressed to my son, about the seriousness of getting involved in immorality. And folks look at that and they say, well, they must have been awful people to have to talk about it that much. Well, if you think about what's going on in America and why there's so much call for abortion, then we'll understand the seriousness of immorality. It's breaking God's commandment. The Ten Commandments very clearly require faithfulness to marriage. And here's the danger of what's accepted in so much of American culture. In chapter 7, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Hold on to these words I'm telling you. Put them in your mind and in your heart. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. And again, the apple of thine eye is just an expression for the eyeball. We take care of our eyes. And so, keep God's commandments. And here it's the commandment of the Father, which comes from God. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, we've already had this thing in verse 3 about bind them upon thy fingers. They made a great deal of putting a group of Bible verses in a little leather pouch or container and tying them on your body. And they had different ways to tie them on. Here it's on the fingers. And it meant that you were going to just have these things that close to you. It wasn't the idea that there was something magical about having Bible verses attached to your body or your clothing. But keep my commandments and live, and bind them upon thy fingers, and then write them upon the table of thine heart. Put them down in your basic thinking, in your subconscious maybe. Put them in your mind and in your emotions. Bind them upon the table. Bind them upon thy fingers, and then write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, to write means to make a record, means to spell it out. And he says, do this to your mind and heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. If you really follow wisdom, then this will keep you out of this trouble. Say unto wisdom, thou art my... The Hebrew word can mean sweetheart. Wisdom ought to be dear to you, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Think of understanding as your mama or older sister or somebody like that. That they may keep thee from the strange woman and from the stranger which flattereth with her words. All the big books are so clear that this idea of stranger now, strange woman, means the immoral woman. And wisdom, knowing true wisdom, Christian common sense and understanding of God's word will keep you from the strange woman who flatters with her words. And then the father tells a story about how he watched a young man being taken in. He says in verse 6 of Proverbs 7, at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, the young men, a young man void of understanding. Young man lacking common sense, we'd say. He was passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and she's loud, it says, and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She didn't want to stay in her house. She wants to be out on the street. Now is she without. That's where he saw her. Now is the now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him. kissed him. And she said, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I've found thee. Oh, I suppose people notice that it's a common thing, not always, but it's a very common thing, for folks who've been in mischief to suddenly start talking religion. I wouldn't think of telling your name, but it's been said in this part of the country about a certain person that you can tell what he's been into on Wednesday night by how long he prays. If he's really been into some real piece of mischief, he prays an extra long prayer. Well, maybe that's not the right way to say it. But here's this bad girl, and she's meeting this man, and she kisses him, and she said, listen, I have peace offerings with me. I've been down to worship today. And the peace offering has to be eaten. Some of the offerings, you know, only on the first day. These peace offerings at least on the second day. And what she's saying is, I got a good piece of meat at home. And so I want you to come and have some of it. Therefore came I forth to meet thee. I want you to eat some supper with me. And I've found you. And of course the peace offering was a voluntary worship offering. She's talking about how religious she is. And then, you wouldn't believe it if it weren't right here in the Bible. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, got the prettiest covering on it, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I've got the best sheets you could have. I've perfumed my bed with spices, myrrh, aloes, cinnamon. And they thought that was nice. We wouldn't like it. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. And then she gets to what's going on. The good man, my husband, is not at home. He's on a long journey. He's taking a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. He's got a whole lot of money with him and he's going to spend, and he won't be back for some days. And with her fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering her lips, she forced him. Now, it's taken for granted that we ought not to blame all this on the girls. The man can do the same thing, just exactly, and he'll say it differently. But with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And it says, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. The ox doesn't know if they're going to kill him when they're carrying him off to butcher him, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. In other words, he's going to get caught in this, and this is going to go on till a dart strike through his liver. That was one way they had of killing animals. As a bird hasteneth to the snare. The bird hastens to get out of the snare, now is the point of it. And knoweth not that it is for his life. This man who's taken in by this speech doesn't realize that he's on his way to destruction and that his life is involved. This says, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. Her way is her paths. That's the way she lives. Don't get involved in it. For she hath cast down many wounded. Folks have been wounded socially, morally, and other ways with immorality. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. They've lost their lives. The diseases transferred by homosexuality and other immorality takes so many lives. And it says her house is the way to hell. Now this is hell, Sheol, meaning the grave. It may eventually lead to hell, as taught in the New Testament. Oh yes. But her house is the road to the grave. the highway to the grave, maybe we'd say, going down to the chambers of death. I hope nobody thinks I'm saying too much about this. The point is that this is a big, big thing here in the book of Proverbs that we need to warn young people. So often, Christian people take it for granted. Oh, my children gone to church and they know about things like this and I won't have to talk about something that awful. Well, we live in a culture where it's becoming more and more obvious that Christian young people are tempted, and Christian parents and teachers should warn them, as this book of Proverbs does. Now, in chapter 8, we have wisdom's call and the praise of wisdom. So much of the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. And I've said over and again that wisdom here now is more than just knowledge. You could have all the knowledge in the books and still not be wise at all. Wisdom is understanding. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Wisdom for the Christian is Christian common sense. Oh, it's based on knowledge. It's based on understanding. And here's the question, doth not wisdom cry? Isn't wisdom calling to folks? And understanding doesn't, here's the synonym, understanding, same as wisdom. Doesn't understanding put forth her voice? Yes. She stands in the top of high places. And that's the way they had of calling to a multitude of people. By the way, in the places of the paths. I think we'd say at every crossroad. She cries at the gates, at the meeting places. You see, the gate wasn't just the place where you went to come into town. It was a place where folks met to transact the business that we'd transact at the courthouse. They wanted to get the right witnesses, you see. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, and she says, unto you, O men, I call, my voice is to the sons of man. Here's wisdom crying to people. O ye simple, understand wisdom. You fools, you folks that lack wisdom, be ye of an understanding heart. And you'll have the understanding heart if you have this kind of wisdom. Here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. I'm going to tell you what you ought to know about this. Wisdom is personified and is talking. My mouth shall speak truth. That's one characteristic of wisdom. Wisdom always speaks the truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Speaking falsehood, all the words of my mouth are righteousness. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. If you really find real knowledge, then you appreciate wisdom. Receive my instruction, and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. This is more important than a whole lot of money. Wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom more important than a whole lot of fine jewelry. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I suppose we'd say good judgment. Wisdom is just a companion of good judgment, common sense. And it says, and I find out knowledge of inventions. Wisdom is going to let us understand. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, here's the wisdom. The right fear of the Lord, standing in awe of God's greatness, reverentially worshiping God. To fear God, that means to hate evil. Pride. Arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth, the lying mouth, do I hate. Here's a wisdom. I dwell with prudence, and I understand, and I want you to have of this kind of counsel. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength. This is wisdom talking now. By me kings reign. They were wise enough to solve the problem, and so they ended up on the throne. Princes decree justice by me, by wisdom. If the judges hand down real justice, it'll be on the basis of wisdom. By me princes rule. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The folks that really seek wisdom as young people, as children, are going to be the ones that find it. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. They are with wisdom. My fruit is better than gold. We had that idea before. Yea, than fine gold. I lead in the way of righteousness. Wisdom leads folks on the paths of righteousness, righteous living, in the midst of paths of judgment. They are there too. But wisdom finds the path of righteousness, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. This doesn't mean everybody who's wise gets rich. There are some very wonderful Christians in China, Russia today, who aren't rich in this world's goods. But yet, here's the principle, that wisdom causes folks that love wisdom to inherit substance. And the Lord possessed me in the beginning. Here's wisdom still talking. God had wisdom before he created the world. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, before there was any ocean, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. Wisdom is older than the world. While as yet he had not made the earth. God hadn't made the earth, but wisdom was here. Nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Wisdom was there. And you can see that if you'll just do a little bit of work in astronomy. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When God was arranging his oceans, when he established the clouds above, when God made it the kind of world where there would be clouds to drop water and rain, then he, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, the oceans in the background of rain, when he gave to the sea his boundary, it says decree in this Old English, God gave the sea his boundary. God put it where it ought to be, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. Wisdom was with God as part of his family almost. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, here's the conclusion of it. Hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Happy, truly happy, the word means. Blessed are the folks that keep my ways, the ways of wisdom. Hear instruction and be wise. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Whoso findeth me findeth life. Real life is going to come through following wisdom. And of course, Christ is the wisdom now of the New Testament and things like that. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. You're going to have the same word, blessed, in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is going to start his Sermon on the Mount with blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, and things like that. Blessed are those folks that understand their spiritual poverty and need. And whoso findeth me, wisdom, shall obtain favor with the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. That's plain enough, isn't it? The folks who don't love wisdom, they come to death, spiritual death and physical death, and it's a result of rejecting real wisdom, which is found here in God's book that we call the Bible in particular. And then the first verse of chapter 9, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Now, the idea of having seven big pillars to be in front of the house or maybe to support it, this means that it's going to be something splendid, something elegant. Here's wisdom now. Symbolically, personified, and she's building this wonderful house. She hath killed her beasts. Gonna have a big party. She hath mingled her wine, mixed her drinks, and that doesn't mean the same thing as drinking wine now. They had a little alcohol, but they mixed it with four or five parts water or something like that, sometimes three parts water. And she's furnished her table. Wisdom is going to invite people to come. And so the rest of this chapter that we can't finish today talks about how wisdom has so much to offer, so much to give. She's prepared this wonderful table, and then she sent forth the servants and to cry in the high places of the city and to invite people to come. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Here's this idea now that wisdom is such a basic thing for life. Christian wisdom, so basic for the Christian life. The person who is wise will follow God's instruction and have understanding of everything round about him. May it be true in my life and in yours that in God's wisdom we understand God's will, and that we shape our lives according to what his wisdom teaches us.